So tonight, we are going to continue with our practical day, our day of figuring out what are the things that we can learn, the ways our eyes are opened, with the specific purpose of knowing how to do things differently, of knowing what to organize differently. And tonight, we are going to tackle, remember when I said yesterday that I had studied the primary causes of stress for women? And one was men, so relationships. We tackled that this morning. Do you guys remember what the other one was? It was the pace of life. It was, how the heck do I survive when I am running around with my hair on fire like a crazy person all the time? When I have all these things that cause me stress, how do we basically, the subtitle of the Bible study and the subtitle of the book on this is, how do you basically thrive in a do-it-all world? What does that look like? And it is big picture, but it is also super practical. So that is what we're gonna talk about in a way that gets us to not just not having so much stress in our lives, but also so that we actually thrive. There is a promise that Jesus has in Scripture. We touched on it a little bit last night. Where Jesus says, you remember the scripture about my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Okay. It's interesting. That is in the context of a bigger picture statement where he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. Like, how many of us feel like that sometimes? Seriously, raise your hand. Just, okay, anybody who's not raising their hand is probably lying. I'm just sorry. I'm like, I shouldn't say that from the stage. I really shouldn't. Like, we don't have to be depressed. We don't have to, you know, have an insane, horrible things. But we just, all of us know the feeling of being weary, don't we? All of us know the feeling, and I'm not saying that it's always, it's probably not always, but from time to time, we know that feeling of being heavy burdened, right? We understand what that feels like. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, let me pause for a second, because his solution is not what most of us have been told is the solution. I run around like my hair on fire, right? I'm one of those people constantly, I'm taking my son to track and then jumping on an airplane to talk to a women's group and, you know, running my team that helps do all the research and, you know, trying to make time with my husband. So I'm running around, and I have tons of people who come to me and say, honey, you just need to slow down. Right? How many of you have heard that? Okay. It might actually be true. I'm not actually saying that that's not true sometimes. But when Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest, that was not the next thing that he said that was the solution. What were the next words? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. A yoke is, well, hold on, let me back up. The reason that it is not, to me, encouraging when people say, you just need to slow down, is because that seems like a solution for a short time. Like, I can slow down for a short time, but a slow life is not a solution for a lifetime. That just doesn't, we just live in a busy world, right? So what's the solution? This is Jesus' solution. Take my yoke upon me. Ladies, a yoke is an implement, a tool to help a burden beast plow the field in the heat of the day. He doesn't say, here, let me take the yoke off your shoulders and send you back to the barn to find rest. Instead, his analogy, his word picture is, take my yoke upon you. Do what I am calling you to do. And you will find rest for your souls. In other words, in the middle, the promise is, in the middle of your busy daily life, you don't have to be stressed. You can be doing the good work of the day, plowing the fields of the day, but you don't have to be anxious. You can be busy, but you don't have to be tense and stressed. You can find rest for your souls. To me, that is a huge promise. And of course, sometimes it's going to come with actual physical rest. But the fact that Jesus promises us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls, even in the middle of your busy life, that's huge. That is a huge promise. That's what we're going to be digging into tonight. Here's the principle or the premise. As I've studied, as I've gone into the scriptures and gone into science to see what we are told about having rest, about how to balance life, about how to thrive in a crazy world, is that so often the stress that we are experiencing does not have to be there. And so often it is because we are operating in a way that is contrary to how we're designed. Here's basically the premise. Now, I'm going to get us just started on a very surface level. I'm just gonna get started. This is actually, what I'm gonna be talking about today is actually from the Life Ready Woman book and the Find Balance Bible study that goes with the Life Ready Woman book. We are gonna be skimming along the surface. If any of you, this will not be all of you, but especially if any of you are in a season where you're having to make some decisions about different directions in life and choices you're gonna have to make, I would strongly encourage you to at least think about doing the Bible study, because let me tell you, it will walk you through how do you do this? How do you apply this to your life? Okay, so here's the premise that we're going to be talking about, that we're going to get started on. Every created thing has design specifications and sort of a purpose why it was created. Every created thing, the chairs you're sitting on, your electronic devices, the coffee pots back there, every created thing has a purpose behind why its creator created it, what it's designed to do, and it has design specifications of how it's supposed to work. When you work with the design specs and the purpose, things tend to work. If you work against the design specifications, things tend to break. Everything has that, and so do we. We have a purpose behind why we were created, and we have design specs for how we're designed to work. When we tend to work with those things, things tend to work in our lives. When we work against them, things tend to break, and we have tension and stress and a lot of that stuff. Let me give you an analogy of this. So when I live in Atlanta, I think you guys had heard that, and a couple of years ago, a number of years ago now, we had this weird period in Atlanta where it just rained and rained and rained and rained. It was like 4 weeks of solid rain. It was so weird that even like on the radio, the secular station DJs were going, I'm expecting to see the animals come two by two. Like, it was that bizarre. And when it rains in Atlanta, near our home where we live, we're on the edge of the sort of a big, long residential area. And then in our neighborhood is the very last neighborhood in this big, long residential area. And then you kind of go down a little hill and you cross a little creek. And when you come out the other side, you're in the commercial area with the grocery stores and the gas stations and all that kind of stuff, right? And when it rains, that little creek becomes a flood. And it floods over the road, and so the police have to close the road. And it is so frustrating because we're like the last neighborhood, and I can see the grocery store. Like, I can see it. It's right there. But I have to drive this really long way around. Like, really, it's about a 15, 20-minute trip to get back to what I can see right there when they close the road. So one night, it's raining again. And I'm like, oh man, we don't have any hot food. We don't have any food in the house. I don't know what we're gonna do for dinner. And it's starting to rain. I'm like, shoot, jump in the van and quickly get to Publix or our grocery store before the road gets closed, before the creek floods again and the road is closed. Because as you can tell, I'm used to this by now, having to sort of plan for this. So I jump in the van, and as I'm driving over the creek, the water is already, you can tell it's kind of creeping up a little bit. Like, you can tell it's, in a little while, it is going to be flooding the road, but right now it's not yet. Like, it's just a little bit of water, right? And so I quickly run into Publix, I shop really fast, and I drive back, and I can see a couple of cars turning around. I'm like, shoot, but there's no police officers or anything. And so I drive up to where the creek has started to, you know, kind of flood a little bit across the road, and it doesn't look too bad. Like, it's, yeah, you're shaking your heads at me, okay? Y'all are going, no, no. And it doesn't look too bad, and it looks like it's about, like, from as far as the edge of the stage to about there, and it looks like it's probably about that deep. Like, you know, maybe 4 or 5 inches. Like, it looks okay. And I drive up to it, and I can see my house. Right? It's right there. And I drive up to this, and you know what I'm thinking, right? I can make it. And so I start driving, and as I get into it, I realize it's not that wide. It's a lot wider than I thought. And as I'm going, I realize it's not this deep, it's like this deep. And I'm going, okay, okay. And I can see it out my window. I can see it rising up. And there was probably a bit of a flood that was coming right as I was doing this. And I can see it rising up. I'm like, okay, I'm all right. And all of a sudden, I hear the worst sound in the world, ka-chunk. And the engine cuts out. Turn it off, turn it back on. Nothing. Turn it off, turn it back on. Nothing. And then I feel the van start to float. And it settles, and I am out of the car and in the water, right? Like, I am standing in the water, ruining my best speaking shoes in the process, by the way. Only another girl gets this tragedy. If I tell guys that, they're like, anyway. but I'm safe. But my van is totaled. Apparently, it was not designed to be used as an amphibious vehicle. How many of us sometimes feel like our life is totaled? Or our relationships have been totaled? So often, it's because we are trying to do the equivalent of drive our life across a flooded road. We're trying to run our life and do things in a way that we were not designed for. And things are gonna break. Anyone who has ever dropped their cell phone in the sink full of water knows it's not designed for that. It's going to break, and so will we. If you are trying to operate in a way that is contrary to how you're designed, and we're going to get into what that looks like in a minute. Let me put it in a positive way. If you're operating in a way that is how you're designed, yeah, you can still have stress and that kind of thing from time to time because we live in a fallen world. But things will have a sense of fitting, of having rest for your souls. If you're trying to do the equivalent of drive your life across a flooded road, handle things in a way that you were not designed for, things will tend to break and you will tend to have that sense of living a life of stress. You will also often have a sense of regret. I wish I had done such and such differently. God does not want us to have that sense of regret. He wants us to work with our design so that we avoid some of those problems from the beginning. So listen, we're going to tackle now, and for the rest of our evening here, briefly, we're going to tackle what specifically do we tend to do that is we're not designed for. What is it? What does that look like? Specifically, and what are the ways that we can operate with our design? How do we figure that out? What does that look like? So there are many ways that we could, first of all, again, we're not going to be able to cover it all here. Just to get us started, there are many ways we tend to operate against our design, but I'll give you a big one. This is just one example, but it's a big one. And this may not, by the way, be you. This may not be your thing that you tend to do, but maybe you see this in your adult daughter, or you see this in the life of a friend, and this is something you can mention to them. One of the key things that we do is we are trying to have it all. We are trying to have it all and do it all and be it all at the same time, because we've heard we're modern women. We're supposed to be able to, right? This is the promise of our modern era, that we can have it all. Now, one of my books a couple of years ago called The Male Factor. It was a book on understanding the men that you work with. It was sort of a workplace relationships book. And I launched it on the Today Show. And the woman who interviewed me back then was Meredith Vieira. Do any of you remember who I mean? Okay, when I say Meredith Vieira. She's awesome, wonderful professional lady. And I wonder how many of you remember, do you remember what she did before the Today Show? Do you remember this? She was on The View, okay? Now, here's digging back even further. You may not remember that before she was on The View, she was actually one of the primary correspondents for 60 Minutes. And it was in a season of her life where her children were small, and she was always doing a ton of international assignments. She was one of the primary correspondents. She was going all over the world, and her kids were small. And she was constantly missing things that were important to that. She just couldn't do it. She finally went to Steve Hewitt, who is the producer of 60 Minutes, and she said, look, Steve, I've been doing so many of these international assignments, and each one of them takes so much longer. I really love to be able to switch to doing more domestic stuff. And, you know, sort of I can keep a handle on my travel and the amount of time that I'm away from the kids. And Steve said, I'm sorry, that's the job. You either do the job or you leave. She said, fine, I'll leave. Now, first of all, just as a quick aside, she's a young woman who has one of the most prime spots in television journalism that you could possibly have. Can you imagine what must have been going on in her mind? Like, well, this is the end of my career, right? Making the choice to leave 60 Minutes. But she did it because she recognized that there was something more important at the time for her that she probably felt like she needed to do. And As I was getting ready to go on the Today Show and be interviewed by her, I just happened to come across this quote. Time magazine was doing a series on successful superwomen. And there was these little columns, and they were interviewing these women who had this, you know, these amazing stories of rising to the top in media and in Hollywood and in business and in finance and, you know, all these things. They had sort of these women that they labeled superwomen, which is what we think we're supposed to be, right? And the Time magazine interviewer interviewed all of these women and asked them one question. What do you say to women who want to have it all? And they got a ton of versions of, you go, girl. Okay, rah, rah, you go, girl. Meredith Vieira, I wish I could have seen the face on the Time magazine interviewer when he said to her, what do you say to women who want to have it all? And she said, I hate that expression. She said, when I left 60 Minutes to focus on my family, I had women who came up to me very angry and said, you know, you were proof that you could have it all. How dare you leave? And she said, I thought that was ridiculous, that I would lie to myself to create a lie for everyone else. You have to prioritize, she said. She said, if you can fit in a job and a husband and kids and volunteer work and all these other things and be comfortable with it, great. She said, at that point, I realized I couldn't and give my kids and my husband what they needed. The idea, ladies, that we have been fed that we should be able to have it all and do it all and be it all at the same time is a myth. We are not designed for that. And if we try to do this, something is gonna break. Something is gonna suffer for it. It may be you that suffers for it. It may be us. It may be the headaches or the stress or all that stuff, right? It may be us. It may not be us that's suffering for it. Maybe it could be our family members that suffer. Or literally, it could be the purposes God has for our life that suffer, okay? But if it's true that we're not designed for that, if that's true, and we try, then something's going to break. And we're going to have those regrets that God doesn't want us to have. So, we may not think, I'm like, it's thundering. We may not think we're trying to have it all, but we're often acting like it, aren't we? And by the way, let me just say, because I can see some of you looking at me like this, let me also say that this is not precluding the amazing opportunities we as women have today. And that there may be some way that we can have it all, and this is in quotes, but to have it all over the course of our lifetime, but we're not designed to be able to do it all at the same time. God is infinite. He has no boundaries, like a 24-hour day and a need for sleep. We do. And he clearly designed us that way. So we have to live with it. Okay. Now, let's tackle briefly, just so that we can get our heads around this, why, if we're talking about this particular way of living against our design, of trying to kind of have it all, do it all, fit in too much, whatever it is, why do we do this? I mean, think about it. It's insane. Why do we do this? This was typified. I was actually trying to, I was trying to figure this out, and I was actually at a women's retreat like this one shortly after I was starting to work on the Bible study, and I'm trying to figure out why. Why do we do this? And this young, and I was explaining some of the things that I shared with you, and I had a young woman who came up to me. She was probably, I don't know, 28, 29 years old, and she was a mess. Like, she had been crying, her mascara was running, and she explained she had a husband who traveled internationally. They had two little kids, a three-year-old and a baby, and she was a rising star at work, and was her boss had put her in charge of these three big project teams. Her husband traveled all the time. Her kids were constantly in daycare until all hours of the day or night. And she's just like, I'm just so exhausted. I'm so tired. I don't know what to do. And she's like, I don't know what to do. And I said, honey, see, this is what happens when you're over 40. You can call somebody who's 28-year-old, honey. And I said, honey, you're trying to have it all. And she's like, no, I'm not. I promise I'm not. I'm like, okay, well, let me ask you a question. And I kind of pulled her over into kind of a private corner. And I said, let me ask you I need to know something. What's your true priority right now at this moment in your life? Because, you know, if it is, for example, seizing these opportunities of being this rising star in this company right this minute because it's a really important period or something, let's be honest about that if that's your priority right now. And she said, no, of course my priority is my husband and my kids. Of course that needs to be my priority. She was totally on board with that. And I said, then if that's the case, you're going to have to make some choices. Because right now you're trying to do everything. You're not doing anything well. Right? Everybody's upset with you, right? And you're upset with yourself. And I said, so for example, your boss has asked you to lead, you know, these three project teams. You know, maybe this is a moment, if your husband and your kids really, if that is your main priority, go back to your boss and say, you know what, this season of life, I just need to lead one project team. And she's like, I can't do that. And I said, why not? And she said, because I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. The next time you read the story of Adam and Eve in the garden, look at what the serpent tells Eve. The serpent, which we know to be Satan, the evil one, the serpent comes up to Eve, and she is in this beautiful place. This glorious garden where God has said, you can have any of this stuff, any of this, just not this one, right? Any of this fruit, just not this one. What does Eve do? Right? The serpent comes up to her and says, essentially, you're missing something. God is trying to keep you from something good. You're missing something. And it fed into what is essentially, we have to recognize, one of our sinful tendencies, okay, to focus on, and Eve starts obsessing over the one thing that she's not allowed to have. I don't know if she did the head wag, okay? I'm just saying, I find myself doing that. But she's focusing on this one thing that she's not allowed to have and missing the fact that if we focus on the way God has designed us and what He wants us to have, we're not gonna miss something, we're gonna find something. We have to recognize that one of the main reasons for the stress is that really, truly, we've got this idea, I'm going to miss something. Okay, so by the way, we're going to move into now briefly, talking about if that is how we are not designed to work, how are we designed to work? as we go, ask God to show you what's one way, as I'm going to share a couple of these things, ask God to show you what is one way maybe I am living against how I'm designed. Like, just ask, you've asked, given God permission to open your eyes to certain things, ask him to bring some of those thoughts to mind. And here's my request for you, ladies. The second that comes to mind, write it down. If a thought, I wonder if, just don't talk yourself out of it, just capture it before you forget. And then you can pray over it later. But if something occurs to you as I'm talking about this, write it down. So if that's not how we're designed, how are we designed? Now, this is, again, this is big picture. This is from Genesis. We did a lot of sort of looking at the scripture, and this also fits very neatly into some of the things we see in science, by the way. But essentially, every person, if we're going to be at the most basic level, every person has three parts of their design, of their callings, of their purpose. And we can say, basically, everybody has kind of core callings. Adam and Eve were called before the Lord. There's a passage in Genesis where the Father calls Adam and Eve to him, and this imagery is of a, do you guys know, like in the Old Testament, it was very common that a Hebrew father would lay a hand of blessing on the oldest son or whatever, and bless him and sort of speak a particular blessing, a particular calling over him. So this is the imagery. God calls Adam and Eve to him. They're standing before him like equal children, male and female. And God blessed them and said to them this. So this is his official, this is what you're called to do, okay? This is your design, this is your calling. And I'm going to explain that in just a second. But from this we get everybody has these core callings that Adam and Eve were both called to do. Then, from the core callings, every person in the world is divided into either having feminine callings or masculine callings. You're designed as a human being made in God's image, and then you're either a woman or you're a man, even though obviously that is now controversial today, which is silly. But anyway, you're either designed as a woman or as a man. So you have masculine or feminine callings and design, and then every person narrows down to a point where, as part of your makeup, you have a personal callings, personal design. And these are the gifts and the talents and the interests and the individual personality and temperament and skills that God has given you. And if you, as you think about your whole life, your callings as a person made in God's image and as a woman, and then as a person, an individual person, where you find that point, that's where you find God's best for you. That is your individual design. And it will, and your design specs. And the thing that's so cool about this is that that means your purpose, your calling, your design specs will look very different than that of the woman sitting next to you. We're not put into a box. We're all very individual. So we're going to tackle the core callings for a minute. The core callings fall into three categories. God blessed them and said to them, this is Genesis 1:28, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay? And then a few verses later, Genesis 2:23, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. All right. So out of this sort of foundational scripture in Genesis, we see that all men and all women have three core callings. And these callings are, first, to leave and cleave, to be fruitful and multiply, and to subdue and rule. To leave and cleave, to be fruitful and multiply, and to subdue and rule. I'm going to tackle each of them briefly. To leave and cleave, we are designed, first, to leave father and mother and to be an individual with our own relationship with the Lord, our own character first, and then if we're called to marriage, which most people are, but not everybody is, if we're called to marriage, we're also designed to cleave to that husband in this sort of supernatural super bond called marriage. And when we work with that in the way it's designed, as we talked about this morning, things tend to go better. So we're working with that rather than against that. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that because we talked about more of that this morning. The second calling is to be fruitful and multiply. And this is, again, are we working in the way that we're designed here? We are designed, the way God describes this in the scripture, we are designed to raise up both men and women, both Adam and Eve, are designed to raise up and launch into the world a healthy, growing next generation that will be multipliers of his image into the world. We're all designed to do that. This is not just have kids, but be part of raising up and launching and spreading a godly next generation. Now, every human being, men and women, like I said, we're all designed for this. If we are not doing one of these three things, we're going to have that feeling of driving our life across a flooded road. If we are not focusing on fulfilling this design spec and this calling, things are going to feel breaking or like we have regrets. And let me give you an example of what this might look like. So when I was writing one of my books, I was spending a lot of time sitting at a coffee shop near my house because I think the kids were home for the summer and I was just like, I can't get anything done. So I'd escape to this coffee house on Saturday morning. Steph would take the kids. And so on this Saturday morning, for every Saturday morning, I would sit there in my corner booth and about like 10 o'clock, 10:30, I would see this woman, she looked like maybe she was in her mid-30s, and she would come in and she would stand there and wait, or sit down and wait, wouldn't get a coffee, and then a teenage girl came in. And they stood up and hugged, and then they went and got coffee, and they talked for an hour, and then they left. And then the next Saturday morning, same woman standing there waiting, different teenage girl comes in and talks to her. They sit down and have coffee for an hour or so, and then they leave. This happened like 4 times, maybe 5 times. And finally, some Saturday morning while she's waiting, I walked up to her and I'm like, who are you? Like, I'm just really curious. Like, what is this? I've been noticing this every Saturday morning. And she said, well, you know, I'm 38 years old. I'd love to be married. I'm not married yet. God hasn't done that in my life yet. But there's a lot of teenage girls in our church that for whatever reason don't feel they can talk to their own mom, or they don't have a big sister, or they don't have an aunt. They don't have somebody they can talk to. And so I just mentor these teenage girls. Like, we just meet and they share life, and there's things that if they need to run it by somebody, I'm there for them. Sisters, that is being fruitful and multiplying, right? That's being that underground espionage agent. This gal, God had not given her the husband that she was longing for yet, but she could still be fruitful and multiply and sort of not have that feeling of regret in that particular area. The third thing that we are called to do is to subdue and rule. Now, this is where we're going to get a little more, you'll see a little more practicality out of this. And it is hot in here. Am I the only one who thinks it's hot in here? I'm like, whew. Well, maybe that was why you closed it, because it was too cold over there. That might have been the case. Sorry. Never mind. This is what happens when you get to be 52. It could be other reasons that I'm hot in here. I don't know. Anyway, some of you are looking at me pityingly like, oh, yeah. You've been there. But this is, let's talk about subdue and rule for just a minute. We are designed, not just called, we are designed to advance God's kingdom into the world beyond the home and advance his kingdom in ways that are very specific to our gifting, to our individual callings, our individual design specs. When God said, subdue the earth and rule over it, he was basically saying, our world needs the rule of godly men and women to set things in order. If you think about it, that's a pretty incredible statement. So what does that actually look like? To do that, to have kingdom purpose in ways that are specific to our gifting. We started talking about that last night. We're underground espionage agents. You have your job, and then you have your job, okay? What does that look like? Let me give you an example of this. And I think actually I included this in the Find Balance Bible study because it was so striking to me. When we were testing some of the Bible study materials, I recruited a friend of mine who had a church not too far away, and she had a women's group of about 30 women or so who agreed to go through the Bible study before it was like finalized. You know, I would teach it, they would go through the discussion questions, because I didn't want to like record the videos and publish the workbook and everything until we knew how people interacted with it. And so it was awesome. It was very sweet of the church to do this. It was every Tuesday night for 8 sessions. And it was interesting, the first night that we showed up, this church was so sweet. Don't get me wrong. They were so sweet. But all they had in the back when all these women showed up was water. Like, I think there's something in the Bible about needing sugar at a woman's Bible study. I'm pretty sure that that's a scriptural mandate of some kind. Like coffee. Like, thank you. Like, there's something there, okay? And so it was so funny. This one woman, who I'll call Annabelle, this one woman, on the second Tuesday night, the second week, somehow, I don't know how she did it, but somehow she had managed, in between working a full-time job that got, you know, done at a normal time for a full-time job, and showing up at 7 o'clock at the church for the women's Bible study, she had somehow whipped up this pan, huge pan of shortbread brownies. And she brought these in, and it was like, ah! You know, the angels were singing, and we all made short work of the brownies. And, you know, and everybody was like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. And she was just beaming. Like, it was awesome. So the next week, she shows up with this giant pan of berry cobbler, fresh-baked berry cobbler. And then the next week after that, okay, so you get the trend, right? So then comes the week, which I think is the week 6, where we talk very specifically in that Bible study about using our gifts for God's kingdom purposes, okay? The eternal perspective. And as the women are discussing this in their discussion groups, and I'm kind of walking around and I'm listening to them all, I overhear, as I'm walking behind Annabelle, I hear her say, but I don't have any gifts that can be used for the kingdom. And the woman next to her goes, Annabelle, brownies? And she's like, yeah, I have the spiritual gift of food. And this woman says, no, you have the gift of hospitality. And she said, you know, I literally was listening to our pastor say just on Sunday that the greatest need the church has right now is that there was apparently a big business that opened nearby, and they have all these new families that are coming into the church. and that they just don't know anybody, and they need people to invite them over to their home for lunch after church on Sunday, or to invite them out to eat, or whatever, in order to get to know them. And, you know, as they sit at their home and talk, you know, have community, they're much more likely to feel plugged into the church. And if not, they're going to go right out the back door in a few weeks, right? And she said, we need people to do that. And Annabelle just lit up. I mean, lit up. She's like, really? I would love to do that. I would love that. The woman next to her said, oh, that sounds exhausting. Because it wasn't her gift. So the woman next to her, by now I'm standing there kind of listening. The woman next to her said, well, yeah, I do know that I have gifts that can be used for the kingdom. I do know that, but I'm not using them. And she said, you know, I got laid off from this ministry I was working for a couple of years ago, and I've been working at Starbucks ever since. I'm not married. She was 40 years old. And she said, and I'm working at Starbucks because health, you know. And she said, I'm not using my gifts for the kingdom. And the woman next to her said, Tracy, tell them what happened last Sunday. And this woman kind of started grinning a little bit. She's like, well, the Sunday before had been Mother's Day. And she said, yeah, well, it's kind of weird. Like, I am by far the oldest person working at the Starbucks. It's all very worldly 20-year-olds and me. And she said, it's just become a thing where we'll sit in the break room and these young women just tell me things and start talking to me about their lives. And, you know, they have no grid for the things of the Lord at all. And they're sitting there smoking and going, I shouldn't have slept with that guy so fast, you know. And she's listening and loving them and pouring into their lives. So on Sunday, she had walked in to Starbucks for her shift and found two Mother's Day cards waiting for her. Because that is how she was really, truly using her gifts for the kingdom. That eternal perspective, right? Listening and pouring into the lives of these worldly 20-somethings. And the woman next to her said, oh, that sounds exhausting, okay? You see how this works? The key, ladies, everyone of us have a specific design. Every one of us has a set of design specs of how we're supposed to work for a particular purpose. God gave us those skills and that personality and that temperament and those interests for a reason, and it's got a kingdom reason. Ephesians 2:10, I love this verse. You all have probably heard it many times. Listen with new ears. For we are God's workmanship. You get the image, don't you, of a creator creating something in a workshop? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do specific good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. That's astounding when you think about it. Soak that in. He has something for you to do that you are specifically designed for, and just as important, not designed for. Frederick Buechner is a Christian philosopher, and I love this quote. It sums it all up. He said, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. That's how you're designed. You personally, are designed. The key is, yeah, you want me to repeat that quote again? Okay, Frederick Buechner, the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The key, ladies, for all of us, me included, every single person in this room, every man, every woman, the key is to not let normal, crazy life just take over. The key is to be very purposeful. Now, we have heard that before. You have to be intentional. You have to be purposeful. And sometimes it's easy for that to be a catchphrase and for you to not know, okay, what does that actually mean? What it means in this particular instance that we're talking about tonight is that if we cannot have it all and do it all and be it all at the same time, then by definition, it means we have to make choices. And if we have to make choices, what choices do we make? This is where we use our callings and our design almost like a compass. How many of you who have ever actually been like legitimately lost, like in the woods, like no cell phone coverage? Anybody, seriously? It's scary. It's happened to me. It is terrifying to actually be legitimately lost. There was a moment when when I was a college student, during my college summers, I actually worked out in the Colorado Rockies on a dude ranch all my summers during college. And there was a legitimate moment being completely lost, and everything in me was convinced, absolutely convinced, the way down to the ranch was sort of downhill and to the right. I was completely convinced of it. But my compass said it was basically straight forward, maybe even a little bit to the left. Which did I follow? Did I follow my feelings? Or did I follow the compass? Somebody said you follow your feelings. No, I would still be wandering if I followed my feelings. You follow the compass. God has given us a compass, ladies, a true north that will never change. It's called the Bible. And when we decide, I am not going to follow everything in me, my feelings are telling me to do this. And so often, our feelings can be confused and changed by all sorts of things, like, I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. We can talk ourselves into all sorts of stuff and talk ourselves into driving our life across a flooded road. We have to follow the compass. And if we do this, and use this to make choices. Here is an example of that. Looking at these core callings of prioritizing, how am I doing on leaving and cleaving? How am I doing on be fruitful and multiply? How am I doing on subdue and rule? And use that to help us make choices. Let me give you an example of this. So a number of years ago, I think I might have told this story on the Bible study video. I am on Focus on the Family fairly regularly on the radio program, and I was out at Focus recording something, and it was April, and of course, because it's Colorado, a blizzard pops up. What? Oh. Awesome. Yeah, it's like, listen. Yes, anyway, I don't know. Because it's in Colorado, a blizzard pops up in April, like April 20th or something. Like, it was insane. And I was really worried about catching my flight out. I was on the last flight out, and my kids had their soccer games and stuff. It was a Friday, and my kids had their soccer games and stuff in Atlanta on Saturday. My kids were younger. And I get this call from a friend of mine who works at my publisher, which is also in Colorado Springs. And she said, Shanti, I just heard, because of the blizzard, they're going to close the airport anytime. And they're calling for volunteers to be bumped, to miss a day and be bumped until Sunday and to leave on Sunday instead. And so I have this idea. How about you call, you volunteer to get bumped off this flight, this Friday flight, and you stay at my house this weekend, and we'll drive up into the mountains tomorrow in my 4x4, and we can go skiing on 2 feet of fresh snow. Like this sounded amazing, right? Like, I love skiing, but I live in Atlanta, okay? It's not like here. Like, when I was living in New England, like, we would constantly be up in the White Mountains or wherever. Like, no, it's Atlanta. There's no skiing. So I miss it. I miss doing it. And here was a woman who, you know, was offering me something I would love to do. And literally, I was in the middle of this Bible study. And I thought, okay, do what I say to do, which is, how am I doing on these areas of core calling and design? Leave and cleave, how am I doing? I'm doing pretty well. I mean, I've learned a lot about Jeff and his needs. I'm trying to focus on my marriage and my husband. I think I'm doing okay in that. How am I doing on subdue and rule? I think I'm doing okay. I think I'm trying to use my gifts for the kingdom and have sort of an eternal perspective in mind regularly. I think I'm okay on that. How am I doing on be fruitful and multiply? This is my season where my kids are young. Ladies, the primary season for be fruitful and multiply that any of us who are moms will ever go through is when our kids are at home with us. It's not the only thing, but it certainly is a key season for us to be aware of. God gives us seasons, right? And how am I doing on that? Hoy, well, I'm always on a plane to go speak at Focus on the Family or speak at a women's group. This is the season where I'm not doing quite as well on Be Fruitful and Multiply. I have to be very attuned to doing better, to filling this calling that God has given me during this time. So I told my friend, thank you so much for that invitation. I'm going to have to take you up on that in about 10 years. And I drove to the airport, didn't volunteer to get bumped, and made it home to Atlanta. And was able to be with my kids at their soccer games and whatnot the next day. Now, imagine, though, that instead of being an author and traveling speaker, imagine that I was primarily more of a stay-at-home mom. Or I was a retiree with a lot of time with my grandkids. And I did that exact same analysis. How am I doing on this? How am I doing on this? You'd probably say, I'm doing pretty well on Be Fruitful and Multiply. I'm investing into that. How am I doing on subduing rule? Well, actually, my friend who invited me to go skiing, she was a newlywed, but she was having some issues in her marriage. It was a second marriage, and there were some very real issues early on in their marriage, and this is a chance for me to go do marriage ministry on 2 feet of fresh snow. Like, I might have made a very different choice because of how I was doing in this area at that season. Do you see how this works, ladies? Use your core callings and your design as a compass. How am I doing? Which way do you want me to go? Doing this is what will get you to God's best for you. Doing this, when you essentially live according to your design and your callings, this is when you are doing what Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke is designed not just to help a burdened beast plow the field in the heat of the day and do the good work of the day, the farmer finds every yoke very, very individually. It is crafted for that particular creature, and that's what God does for us. Our yoke is very, very individually designed. And when we live according to that, it makes all the difference. Listen, let's wrap up tonight with this thought, because I want to give you time for a break. I want to give, you know, us time to get ready for the concert. But let's revisit again the main purpose behind why all of this matters again. It's not just because God doesn't want us to have regret, doesn't want us to have regrets, doesn't want us to have stress. All that's true. But remember, the reason for that is that he wants us to be able to be those good underground espionage agents who reach the world for him. The summary of how God wants our love to flow out to the world is really John 15. When you look at the whole John 15, verse starting in verse 9, he has this whole amazing statement of, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And it's basically saying, out of God's incredible love for us, and he chose us, and he laid down his life for us, and he asks us to share that love with the world, right? But there's something that I think, and I'm just going to say this, there may be some of us in the room, and I've talked to a couple of you, who realize maybe I really actually haven't completely accepted God's love for me yet. Maybe I can't fully share that with the world because I haven't actually done that transaction. I haven't actually accepted him. And I want to challenge everybody in the room to think about, and some of you instantly know I'm talking to you, if you have never fully accepted God's love and done that transaction, and like we gave him our minds last night, you may actually realize I've never really given him my life. I've never really given him my heart. I've never really done that. If you have not done that, I would urge you to say, tonight is the night. Don't talk yourself out of it. If God has been knocking on the door of your heart, stop making him knock. Open the door. I'm just going to stop and I'm going to pray for just a minute. And if I'm speaking to you, it's not me speaking to you, it's the Holy Spirit, it's God speaking to you. So let's just stop and pray for a minute. And if you have never truly given God your life, let's do that tonight. Lord, we are so grateful to be called your children. We are so grateful that you designed us so beautifully. Lord, we even, many of us, have never really accepted the design you've given us. We've wished we were designed differently. Lord, no, you have designed us perfectly in the way that you desire. But Lord, there are probably among us those who have never truly accepted you. And so if that's you, just pray along with me. Silently, Lord, I give you my life. I am so sorry that I have withheld myself from you. I give you my life, my heart, my mind, all of me. Lord, you loved me so much that you were not willing to let me perish. You loved me so much that you came and took the punishment that I deserved, like Sherry was talking about earlier. You hung on that cross and died for me. Lord, thank you. I just say thank you. And I ask you, Lord, to come into my life and my heart right now. I give you my life. I give you all of me. And I ask you to transform me from the inside out. Lord, thank you for dying for me. Help me to live for you. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.